Good morning. Welcome to Rockwood United Methodist Church again today. If you're here in person or if you're online, we welcome you and we hope you enjoy today's worship service. Thank you.
Please join me in the call to worship this morning. It's Blessed Be the Name. It's on 63 in your book, or it will be on the screen.
Heavenly Father, as we gather here today, we come before you with open hearts, ready to receive your abundant blessings. Shower us with your grace, pour out your love, and bestow upon us the blessings that only you can provide. May our worship service be a testament to your overflowing generosity. As we lift our hearts in gratitude and expectation, may your blessings rain down upon us, filling our lives with abundance. With hearts full of anticipation, we humbly say, Amen.
Please join me in Amazing Grace. It's found on 378 in your hymnal. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, 3, and 6.
We gather to listen to the voice of Jesus say, come, follow me. But will you follow when Jesus also calls you to release the hold wealth has on you?
We want to follow Jesus
anywhere he leads.
And with God's help.
We gather to remember that all God has taught us through scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. But what about when we have to put what we know into action?
We want
to put our faith into action, and we can with God's help. We gather to live into God's economy of abundance, recognizing the riches of the prayers, presence, gift, service, and witness that surround us. But what about when the world tempts us back into scarcity?
We want
to turn away from scarcity. and choose God's abundance, and we can with God's help. We gather to shine as a beacon of a new way of living, where following Jesus means sharing in God's abundant gifts together. But will you keep shining when others try to pull you astray, putting the pursuit of wealth before the pursuit of God? We have any joys and concerns today? I'd like to give a joy. I'm thankful for the cooler weather, another nice sunny day we have here. Concerns, well, again, you know, we have two wars major going on in the world. Lord, I wish you would do everything in your power to end them. And we ask that you help ease the suffering of all the people affected by them. Secondly, now we not only have one hurricane, but we have two sets of hurricanes. And there are an awful lot of people who are hurting, who are challenged, who've lost something, and some have lost everything. So let us pray for them. We also want to pray for all that are sick, all that are poor, needy, and hungry in the world. Does anybody have anything else? Amen.
I have a neighbor that is struggling.
No.
And I would ask that you just keep her in your prayers at this time. I don't want to release her name, but it's a neighbor, and please, just tonight in your prayers or today, ask God to watch over her, please.
God of infinite patience and wisdom, we come to you with so many things that claim our time, our energy, our resources, our very lives. We are easily drawn from serving you by the enticements of the world for wealth, ease, and comfort. Just like the young man in the scriptures, we are owned by our possessions, held captive by our treasures. You continue to offer us healing and hope. You seek to transform our lives from captivity to freedom in witness and service. We look at the world in which there is so much warfare and strife, anger and hatred. And we easily become overwhelmed by the needs and the stresses. Help us to place our lives and our trust in you, knowing that with your help, many wonderful things can be accomplished, which will provide hope and peace for others and ourselves. Give us courage and strength to truly be your disciples. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let us now pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and join me in hymn number 98, To God Be the Glory.
Thank you.
Will the ushers come forth for the collection of the tithes and the offerings? Gracious God, you are provider and sustainer. We bring our gifts today, mindful of your abundant love and mercy. As we offer these tithes and offerings, we ask that you remind us of the call to let go of our earthly attachments and follow you wholeheartedly. Bless these gifts and use them to further your kingdom on earth, so that all may experience your grace and love. May our giving reflect our trust in you and our commitment to serve others. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Today's scripture is Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 31. As Jesus continued down the road, a man ran up, knelt before him, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to obtain eternal life?" Jesus replied, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except the one God. You know the commandments. Don't commit murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't give false testimony. Don't cheat. Honor thy father and mother." "Teacher," he responded, "I've kept all of these things since I was a boy." Jesus looked carefully and loved him. He said, "You are lacking one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me. But the man was dismayed at this statement and went away saddened because he had many possessions. Looking around, Jesus said to his disciples, "It will be very hard for the wealthy to enter God's kingdom." His words startled the disciples. So Jesus told them again, "Children, it's difficult to enter God's kingdom. It is easier for a camel to squeeze through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter God's kingdom." They were shocked even more and said to each other, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them carefully and said, "It is impossible with human beings, but not with God. All things are possible for God." Peter said to him, "Look, we've left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "I assure you that anyone who has left house, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, or farms because of me and because of the good news will receive 100 times as much now in his life, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and farms, all in the coming age, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So today's message is titled, "How Much is Too Much, and Is It Worth the Cost?" We all want to be in control of our schedule, our decisions, our choices, and our lives. We all want to be king of our own kingdom, at least our own kingdom, of our own stuff. That's one of the reasons why stuff appeals. It gives us the illusion of control, the being able to define our own existence, and of having the power to shape the world to our design. And if it's not the latest thing, then the next thing, that gadget, the upgrade, the bells and whistles will make it all happen. In his book, The Generous Church, Bishop Tom Berlin called the pull, the stuff of our lives, gravity. Is it stewardship time? Is it your church? That's an important and somewhat delicate time. But stewardship is more than just meeting the church budget. It always has been. It's a spiritual issue. Jesus thought it was important. The two things he talked about most were the kingdom of God and money. That's funny, given what we spend our time debating. But for Jesus, the effect of money, of riches, of stuff, is potentially so dangerous, so destructive, so anti-theoretical to faith, that he spent a lot of time warning us. Pay attention, he says, to the gravity of wealth. He went away grieving, this young man who rushed up to Jesus for affirmation and approval. At least that's what it seems like was going on here. He wanted Jesus to say, "You're doing great. Just keep plugging away." But instead, he got bad news, a warning, and he went away grieving. The pull of gravity of his stuff was too great. He couldn't break away. He was offered a place in the hall of heroes we call apostles. "Come and follow me." He had an invitation to the greatest party on earth, and the burden of what he owned made him walk away. But did you notice a small detail in Mark's telling of this story, one that we often overlook? Matthew leaves it out of his version of this event, but Mark says, after the young man replies, "I've kept these commandments all my life," that Jesus looks at him and loves him. Then he says there is one thing the man lacks, to go and sell and follow me. He loves him. That's why he wants to help him. That's why the young man's pain is important to Jesus. because he loved him. It does, however, make us wonder why Jesus seemed so adversarial at the beginning of the conversation. What was all that? Why do you call me good? What was that stuff all about? If there is anyone who can be certain was good, it had to be Jesus, right? Was he just trying to get the young man on edge, make him defensive from the beginning? That doesn't seem to go with the statement that Jesus looked at him and loved him. Maybe it wasn't a test. Maybe it was a hint. Maybe Jesus, who elsewhere in Mark seems to want his true identity, wanted this one to know something about the one he came to question. Maybe it was his love for this man, who was obviously burdened in ways that most folks would never have seen, that brought Jesus to this place of dropping a hint about the closeness of eternity he was seeking. Maybe it was an invitation into a relationship of love and kingdom. What a difference that would make if we approach those who are lost, who are hurting, who are burdened by an unsustainable life with love and not judgment. Or maybe it was that Jesus knew that the only thing that could overcome the gravity of the riches of this life is a force stronger, greater, a greater pull. Love redeems, love rescues, love wins. He knew that. He knows that man walked away grieving. The burden on his heart increased instead of lightening. He had an antidote. He had the prescription. But the medicine was too bitter for the young man to swallow. Good thing that we know better, right? Good thing we aren't sucked into the ownership cycle, the wanting of stuff. We're smarter than that, aren't we? How do you feel about your stuff? Especially the essential stuff, like your phone. I enjoy my phone, and at times panic when I forget it, thinking I can't live without it. That little clutch in my chest I feel when I drop it, it is the effect of gravity. The pull of something that shouldn't matter all that much. But no one can deny that we all feel the effect of the weight of our stuff. I suspect I would have walked away from Jesus grieving if he had said the same thing to me. Luckily, he didn't. Or did he? If you keep reading our scripture for this week, you'll find the seriousness of the weight of wealth. That's where we get contortionist camels and impossible entrances. We can explain all this away if we want, but it's better to leave it as a challenge that it is. And then to go on and hear the blessing of a God who makes the impossible possible. That's where we get the generosity of the kingdom that clashes against the generosity of this world. Here, we want fair, but there, in God's kingdom, we get grace enough. Jesus wants us to have grace enough. Enough to float free from all that encumbers us and all that weighs us down. Jesus wants us to leave our kingdoms behind. Leave behind the desire to be king of that kingdom and enter into his kingdom, where we will know riches beyond imagining, where we will know grace enough. The scripture says, I assure you that anyone who has left house, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, or farms because of me, and because of good news, will be greatly rewarded. I think of this and say to myself, this cannot be truly what is expected of all of us. Think of the consequences. If we all followed this path, where would the world be? How would we survive if no one worked? How would we find the basic necessities of life if no one worked to farm, manufacture goods, or build houses, offices, and stores? Where would we purchase necessities if no one was available to stock shelves and sell us goods? Of course, we as normal people, we want more than just the necessities. All work and no play is not a good practice to follow. However, many of us, we want more and more and more. Therein lies the problem. We are wise if we live within our means. However, too many of us don't follow that rule. In their quest for more, they often spend outside of what they can comfortably afford. What this results in, at least, is they're spending more time trying to pay for these toys at the cost of their free time and their valuable time with their family, sometimes leaving them with no time to play with their toys. Their lives become wrapped up in making more money to pay for all these extras. They work excessive overtime or multiple jobs trying to pay for all these non-essential items. Often both parents work in a family work to support their lifestyle. At the worst case, they can find that they cannot pay for all these essential and the non-essential things that exist in their lives, and they end up bankrupt and far worse off than when they started out in their working life. How often are essentials sacrificed to pay for non-essential items? Every year I work in a program that gives away food boxes at Christmas time to the needy. Everyone who receives a box needs to show proof of income and expenses to qualify for this program. I don't judge, but it amazes me at how many of the people come to pick up their food boxes driving fairly new, expensive cars and trucks. One of the most amazing pickups I ever saw was made by a family picking up their food, and not only were they in an expensive truck, but they were pulling a large boat behind that. I may not judge, but it just seems to me that their priorities are more than a little bit off. In our attempts to fulfill the need to be happy, do we ever stop and look at what we must do to maintain this lifestyle and realize that in reality, it's making us unhappy? How often are our family lives made miserable by arguments over money, or rather, the lack of it? How often do we stop and say to ourselves, is all this work and worry worth having all these toys? In many cases, we ask these questions not often and sometimes never. Now, what about our spiritual lives? How can this need to acquire money and things affect our lives as we try to follow God's path for us? Well, let's start with the Ten Commandments. Number 4, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. How many people are forced to work on Sundays to be able to afford their lifestyle? Number 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's goods. How often is this need for more and more things tied to your perceived need to keep up with your neighbor's way of life? Number 8, thou shalt not steal. How often are thefts committed to obtain funds to support the criminal's lifestyle? Number 6, thou shalt not murder. It is very deeply regretful that people are murdered so that others can gain money or possessions or both. Now let's next look at the 7 deadly sins. Some of these correlate very closely with the Ten Commandments. Lust. While thought of as a sexual urge, it also covers a strong urge for wealth. Greed. An intense desire and passionate love for material wealth. Much like lust, greed results from an irrational longing for what you do not need. Throughout the Bible, one thing comes out abundantly clear, and that's that material possessions can draw away a man away from God, and it's better to have just enough to get by. Too much can make a man covet his neighbor's possessions, and too much can lead to pride. Envy. Envy is the desire for possessions, happiness, as well as the talents and ability of others. Most envious people are sad, and they will go out of their way to get what other people have. Based on the above, it's obvious that a person needs to obtain wealth or possessions can directly conflict with their ability to live a spiritual life that is in conformance with our Heavenly Father's expectations of how we should be living. Now, in conclusion, I want to restate an earlier statement. But for Jesus, the effect of money, of riches, of stuff, is potentially so dangerous, so destructive, so anti-theoretical to faith, that he spent a lot of time warning us. Pay attention, he says, to the gravity of wealth. Wealth, if obtained properly and used wisely, particularly to help the needy, is not a bad thing. However, it is easy one for one to ruin their own lives by having an unreasonable need to obtain wealth, regardless of the cost to them, their family, and others in their lives and around them. Although not biblical in origin, there is much truth in the saying that money is the root of all evil. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand. And I want you to think about these words in this hymn this week. We come here to church and worship, but what do we do during the week? Listen carefully. Hymn 395, Take Time to Be Holy.
May God bless you with the courage to turn from the riches of the world values, trust to choose God's economy over the world's economy, and opportunities to discover God's abundance over and over and over again. May you all go in peace and bring what you have learned here out into the world to share with those around you. Amen.